March 7th, 2016. This is the joint CCNSO-GNSO Council meeting. We are located in Diamond Room. This session will run from 12 to 1330 local time.
Good afternoon, and we're going to get started here in a little bit. I know we have just a quick announcement. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. This is the joint GNSO-CCNSO Council meeting. We're going to get started here in just a few minutes. I note that a number of councilors are here in the room, but they're still queued up to get some lunch. So if possible, if you could clear space for them in the queue so that they could come to the table and we can dive into our agenda. Thanks. Okay, good afternoon. Hopefully everyone has a plate with some lunch and is ready to and excited to get started as our joint session. I love it. Yes, the enthusiasm is palpable. I don't know who's welcoming whom. I guess we were in this room all weekend, so it feels like we're welcoming the CCNSO, but if that's rude of me to say it that way, I apologize. But I'm for those of you who don't know, I'm James Bladel, the chair of the GNSO. Heather was here just a moment ago. I think she stepped away. The vice chair from the contracted party house is Donna Austin, over here from Newstar. And Heather Forrest is the vice chair from the non-contracted party house. As you are aware, I won't belabor the point. Some of you have been around the block more than a few times. But you know that the GNSO is comprised of registries and registrars in a contracted party house, and non-contracted party house comprised of intellectual property, business constituency, internet service providers as a commercial stakeholder group, and then a non-commercial stakeholder group with members and organizations and individuals from civil society and other advocacy groups. We have an agenda here. We sent it. I don't know if that's okay with you or if you had any edits to that. No. Otherwise, we'll turn it over to Byron for introductions of the CCNSO.
Hi. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Byron Holland, and I'm the chair of the CCNSO, although this is my final meeting as chair, at least. I've served 3 years, and my term will end at the conclusion of this week's CCNSO council meeting. So It's been a great 3 years, very interesting. Obviously, some big blocks of work have happened during that tenure. And I think that the CCNSO's relationship with the GNSO is one of the real collateral benefits that's come out of these two processes, because the nature of cross-community work, while that has been around for some time, has certainly taken on a new tenor over the last 24 months. And I think that that has actually been really good for the community and certainly for the CCNSO and GNSO, where we have in some part been forced to work together a lot more, but also have done a lot of good work together in a very intense and meaningful, and I think hopefully by the end of this week, a fruitful way. So I just wanted to say, as somebody who's been in the chair role over that whole period, apart from the actual substance of the two tracks of work, I think the effort has been really good for the community to truly get to know each other, to work together, to understand each other better, to understand each other's structures and processes better. I think that's one of the collateral positive benefits to come out of all the work that we've done in the past 24 months. I also wanted to introduce Katrina, our vice chair. And Keith Davidson, who couldn't be here in Marrakesh with us, has been a longtime member of the CCNSO community, and actually he's stepping down as vice chair virtually in this meeting as well. So there'll be a little bit of a turning tide in the CCNSO leadership between this meeting and next meeting. And I also wanted to welcome James as a relative newcomer to the chair roles. Good luck in the coming years. Thanks.
Byron, we're all new here, and we're learning on the job, but it was a crash course, certainly over the weekend. If you don't mind, we can proceed with our agenda. We have a number of topics here laid out. Unfortunately, I think Becky Burr, who was slated to give us the first update, is not yet with us in the room. Is that correct? I'm looking to staff to confirm. I still don't see Becky. So if you don't mind, we'll proceed with item B, and that's Heather Forrest was going to provide an update on the use of country and territory names.
Thanks very much, James. Heather Forrest. I'm here just to provide a very brief update. We initiated, perhaps now more than 18 months ago, a cross-community working group to develop a framework for the use of country and territory names as TLDs. Rather coincidentally, that group met in this room immediately prior to this meeting. And the very short summary of where we are and where we've come from, really this group is the follow-on from an earlier study group on this very same topic. That study group recommended the formation of a cross-community working group. The study group was itself chartered by the CCNSO. And we have understood our charter to mean that we interpret country and territory names, which of course could be interpreted very many ways, as two-letter codes under the ISO 3166-1 standard, three-letter codes under that same standard, and names. Our recommendations on two-letter codes, we, Annabeth and I, would have presented some time ago, perhaps back in Buenos Aires, and just this morning, we had, let's say in our last meeting, which would have been perhaps 3 weeks ago, tasked staff with developing a straw, in fact, we're calling it a straw woman proposal in the spirit of diversity. We've drafted a straw man, straw woman, gender your choice, on three-letter alpha-3 codes, and how that framework might look. We've only just seen it this morning, only just started to discuss it this morning. Anyone interested in seeing that, I think your best contacts in the CCNSO is Annabeth or Bart, certainly, or Paul Sindler. And best contact in the GNSO would be myself or Carlos Raul Gutierrez. We serve as the co-chairs on that group. I'll leave it at that, James, in the interest of brevity.
Thanks, Heather. And wondering if there's any questions from the table or questions from the room. Must have been a very comprehensive update. So thank you, Heather. And I note that, sorry, Becky, we did start, we jumped ahead a little bit, but Becky Burr has now joined us and can provide an update on agenda item 2A, which is CWG principles. So Becky, if you don't mind.
Thank you very much, and I apologize for being late. I was extricating myself from the high-level meeting where they are talking about the accountability proposal. So this is the CCWG on CCWGs, or CCWG squared. John Berard and I co-chaired this. And the notion here was to provide a bit of a toolbox for the community for cross-community working groups to support and facilitate further work, which seems to be an increasingly important and I think exciting part of our work here at ICANN. What we looked at was cross-community working groups in the past, some of which have been contentious and some of which have been less so, and tried to develop a kind of toolkit of best practices for CCWGs principles. It was chartered by the CCNSO and the GNSO in March of 2014, so I guess we're sort of 2 years down the road. And we have published a draft framework for comment on the 22nd of February. One of the reasons that this CCWG did not go faster in terms of final recommendations was we had so much material from the CWG and the CCWG accountability that it seemed a shame to skip that. The public comment forum is open through the 2nd of April, and we hope to complete a final framework in May. What we do in the proposal is articulate sort of the characteristics of cross-community working groups, what should be contained in a charter in terms of the scoping and membership working methodologies and the like, and we have some straw men there. We have endorsed, after consultation with the community, the concept that is widely used, that each member, each chartering organization would appoint its own members according to its own rules and procedures. Those members are responsible for reporting to their chartering organizations in accordance with their own rules and procedures. So what we have done is very much preserve the autonomy and independence of the chartering organizations to establish whatever their rules are for participation and review and approval. And not have any sort of standardized format for that, and it provides for the manner in which working group deliverables are submitted to chartering organizations for adoption and approval. And also sets out opportunities for public comment and the like. So, you know, it isn't something as formalized as a policy development process, the steps in a policy development process, but it attempts to outline those kinds of steps and tools that are there. We also include some critical threshold questions to help groups decide whether a cross-community working group is the best vehicle or whether something else might be an alternative that would work better. There are also some suggestions, and these are really just suggestions for post-closure implementation steps in this and the like. There are some open questions that we've asked the public to comment on. And I think the toolkit itself is will be familiar and welcome to people because it really is based on our experience. But there are some questions that we've asked for comment on. One is, you know, sort of does the work of a CCWG go to the ICANN board? Are there things that come out of that that are
obviously... Sorry, Becky, can I interrupt you for just a second? If we could ask the folks having the conversations in the back, we're getting reports that it's difficult to hear at the table. Thank you.
Thanks. One way of dealing with the outcome of a CCWG is for each chartering or, you know, for people to go back to do a policy, a PDP, and that is a technique that the CCNSO has used or is about to use. But there may be things that where we want ICANN board action or acknowledgement short of a policy development process. And so we've asked for input from the community on that. Our operating procedures that we've suggested are quite flexible, and we've asked whether more formalized operating procedures should be developed. One question that we have, and I think this is a question that we've sort of looked at, fortunately haven't yet had to confront head on, is do we need additional mechanisms in case there's disagreement among the chartering organizations or there's not strong consensus? How do you operate with that? And how do you decide to close a CCWG at some point when it becomes clear to people that it's not going to produce results that, you know, its time has come and gone. As I said, the comment period is open. We know we are competing with enormous amounts of very important policy and other work here, but we hope that we get a little bit of your creative attention to the report that's out there, and we'll welcome any input that any of you have.
Thank you, Becky. Questions from the table? Maria.
Thank you very much, James. This is Marilia Macias speaking for the transcript. This is a particular working group that I have been interested to follow more closely, but I couldn't so far because I have been so full of other things to follow. But my question is related to the dynamics of creating a CWG. It seems to me that it is such a very interesting and important instrument and that contributes to policy development, and now we have it proven as a model that works with the CWG accountability. At the same time, I feel that there are so much constraints and procedural steps that need to be followed to create and to follow through of having a CWG that sometimes the community decides to create other sorts of structures, such as a discussion group, as a cross-community working party. How do you see that? Do you see that these instruments are complementary? How can they work together? Do you see them at all fitting into the reflections that you have made about CWG? Thanks.
So I definitely believe that there needs to be a spectrum of cross-community engagement processes. Discussion groups are totally appropriate and useful for things when you're kind of brainstorming. Where you have a particular problem to solve, that is a cross-community problem or challenge, you know, it depends a lot on what the nature of that is, but we have tried to really maintain the sort of formalities to keep them small. But we do think that having a workable charter is a critical feature of any cross-community working group that's going to produce an output, a report in the end, just to sort of keep, understand what scope is, understand what the authority that you as a representative from one organization or another come to the table with. In a discussion group, you may want to have a much broader range of issues to discuss, but when you get to the point where different SOs and ACs are willing to engage in a discussion but want to understand what the bounds are for that discussion, then something like a CCWG that has a standardized charter and that is accountable back to the chartering organization. So I guess one way you could cut this is where those interactions need some level of accountability back to the chartering, back to the respective organizations, then something more formal like a CCWG is appropriate. And we're not, you know, we are increasingly building bridges across SOs and ACs and increasingly finding commonalities in our work and our interests here at ICANN. And to me, as somebody who's been involved in both the CCNSO and the GNSO, that's really exciting and wonderful, and we should really encourage it at the most informal level to in other formal levels.
Any other questions from the floor? Carlos.
Yes, thank you. Carlos Gutierrez. I don't know if we're recording or not. Becky, we just had a meeting of an ongoing CCNSO and GNSO cross-community working group, the one on the use of country and territory names. And it has been amazing. It's wonderful, and it has enriched us on the GNSO side a lot because the experience comes from the CCNSO. To put it negatively, I mean, we have been working on a terrible information asymmetry, and it has taken a long time to homogenize the level of information for both sides. My question to your report, which I haven't looked, but I will look into that, is do you have some ideas how to not only have a charter and accountability for the group, but a level playing field in terms of information? ICANN is rich. They always provide us with wonderful staff and rooms and Adobe Connect rooms and things. But my question is, have you dealt with the importance of a high level of common information before you start working? Because normally you lose a lot of time until you get everybody to the same level of knowledge and information. Thank you.
So I think there are times where something along the lines of an issues report, which establishes baseline information, will be very, very valuable, and that is something that can be part of the CCWG process, not an issues report in the same way that we mean with a PDP, but a sort of background documentation. It also is something where, there is some part of the work of building a charter is to identify what the issues you want to discuss are, and in that process, to identify the information, the background information that you need to bring to the table. And then it would be up to the working groups themselves to decide what the appropriate vehicle for getting that information to the table. Sometimes when you have information asymmetries, just having one, party dump a lot of information on the other is not the most effective means to do it. There is some value in the exchange to make sure that people feel comfortable that the information that they're getting from the other party is neutral and objective, and there's some trust building that needs to go along in there. So we don't recommend a particular outcome, but I do think as part of the charter, really understanding sort of what resources need to be available to the group, including background and informational resources, or something that should be considered.
Thank you, Carlos and Becky. Additional questions for Becky? I have one question, and I just noted that your comment period is open until April 2nd. That's correct. So if you'd like to submit a comment on this topic, there's an opportunity on ICANN's comment forum. It seems, I don't know if the issues are becoming more complicated or impactful, but it seems like the concept of CCWGs and CWGs is proliferating. I think it was only a couple of years ago we saw our first one, and now we're having CCWGs about CCWGs. And so my question was, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I was encouraged by your statement that there's a test to see if it falls within the PDP remit or policy development for one of the SOs. I think that's encouraging to make sure that that CCWGs aren't a sponge that are absorbing issues that belong elsewhere. But my main question is, are there any plans or proposals to incorporate these principles into the ICANN bylaws so that CCWGs become an actual function of the bylaws? Or are they going to continue to be sort of this... I'm trying to choose my words carefully, this sort of ad hoc structure that is created by the SOs and ACs organically.
So, at some level, you could see this as a first step to making things a little bit less ad hoc. But I hesitate to say that because, in fact, the ad hoc nature of this is sometimes quite valuable. One of the reasons that this came up is that the CCNSO has a much longer history given its relationship with the GAC and the sovereignty issues. So in the CCNSO, we really have a long history of these working groups that are cross-constituency in the sense that we bring the GAC in because they're preliminary to building a policy, and you want to make sure that you've sort of developed consensus across important stakeholder groups, and you've informed the process. I don't think at this point we have either necessarily enough learning or really the need to sort of create a bylaws provision that locks them down. One of the things that's great about them is they're flexible and they can be responsive to the work that needs to be done, and so it would be a shame to lock that down prematurely. I can see as we become increasingly interdependent, we are going to need increasingly robust ways for dealing in a cross-community world, but if we haven't done a lot of that in the last 2 years, I don't know what else we've been doing. So,
thanks, Becky. Any other questions or thoughts?
I could just say there is an engagement session on this on Wednesday. The time of that is kind of floating because it was scheduled to coincide with our discussion about the CCWG in the CCNSO. So we're looking for a time that is not in conflict, but if anybody's interested in this, there will be further discussion on Wednesday.
Awesome. Thank you, Becky. Yes?
This is Annabeth Lang from the CCNSO. And I just wanted to share my experience with these cross-community working groups. I've been with ICANN since 2000 and worked in the GAC at the time when we started to work with the delegation and redelegation principles for CCTLDs. And the way our experience by working with the GAC and between the GAC and the CCs at that time diminished the difference between the silos in a very good way. So, and now I'm sitting in the cross-community working group on country and territory names. I also feel that it's a way to getting closer to each other, to learn to respect each other's views, and to understand why we look differently on a lot of the things that we have the same goal, but we have different ways to go there. And to learn what other people from other constituencies think, this is really very valuable. So to make this more formal by making best practice for the working groups will be a very good addition to what we are doing today. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's move on then to agenda item number 2C, which is the Community Working Group on Internet Governance. And for that, I see the two gentlemen are, Rafiq and Olivier, are sitting next to each other. Do you have an idea of who will be presenting first, or?
Yeah, thanks, James. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. I'll be the first one speaking, and then Rafiq will follow up afterwards on anything I've missed.
That's perfect. Take it away, gentlemen.
So thank you very much for this. I'm Olivier Crépin-Leblanc. I'm one of the co-chairs of the Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance for the ALAC. For the GNSO, next to me is Rafiq Damak, and next to him is Yongam Lee, who is the co-chair for the CCNSO. So the three of us are here. There's also the SSAC as a co-chartering organization, but they haven't appointed a co-chair, so it's just the three of us. This working group is a little bit different than the standard cross-community working groups, which have a starting point, a middle point, and an end point with a set of deliverables. It acts as a watching brief or a liaison with the staff activities and board activities of ICANN outside the ICANN meetings. In other words, relating to other fora, Internet Governance Forum, CSTD, UN processes, ITU, etc., etc. It was created a while ago already, over a year ago, and part of its work has been to also bring some input into these different processes. I think we have a slide which gives you an idea of the amount of the number of fora that are out there. ICANN staff and ICANN board members and also many members of our community attend these meetings, and often it is difficult to relate what's going on outside with what's going on inside of ICANN. We've had some input into these external processes. One of the things were workshops that we have organized to explain processes taking place at ICANN. One was last year at the WISIS Forum in Geneva, where we had a workshop explaining the process behind the CWG stewardship and the way that the community came up with a proposal. That workshop was repeated slightly differently with the help also of other communities, like, of course, the other operational communities for the CWG stewardship at the IGF in João Pessoa. That was very well attended. And this year, we are planning again to be present at the WISIS Forum, and this time we will be looking at the process behind the CWG accountability proposal. Because again, it's a good way to show the multi-stakeholder model in action, an operational multi-stakeholder model in action, which actually reaches pretty important and strategic decisions. So we felt that was particularly important. Apart from this, I see we still haven't managed to get the slide up, so it doesn't matter. It's on our wiki. I'll hand the floor over perhaps to Rafiq, who can tell us a little bit about the activities that we're having here in Marrakesh and or a few other things I might have missed.
Okay, thanks, Olivier. So as usual, for each ICANN meeting, we have our face-to-face meeting for the working group, and that will be tomorrow at 10:45, so we are trying to see what we can do in the coming month, and maybe we have some question to our sharding organization in term if we we have the ability or we need to make some statement in the future. And for Thursday, we have the public session, and if I can maybe just to go through the agenda, so we will get some update or report from the CAG high-level meeting. And then we will discuss about the WISIS Plus 10 process. And the third agenda item will be about the internet fragmentation. This is the kind of topic we are trying to talk in our public session. And this is the it's kind of cooperation between the community within from the working group and the ICANN staff.
And before we open for questions, it's Olivier speaking again. Before we open for questions, I just wanted to add that we've had a very good relationship with ICANN staff in being an effective sounding board for the statements that ICANN has been sending to many of these conferences. So before sending a statement out, the first draft has usually been done by staff due to the time needed to write such statements. Okay. But that has been then with the input of our working group afterwards. And so it's been very helpful indeed.
Can give some examples?
And we can give examples?
Yeah, I think like the CSTD report, OASIS Plus 10 submission and so on. So now it's this kind of practice for the ICANN staff who deal with internet governance issue to consult with us and share submission and for comment and feedback. So.
I would just like to add that this group.
I'm sorry. Could you speak your name? For
sorry,
the record,
this is Yalom from CCNSO. I would just like to add that this group started as just a volunteer a group of individuals, and then each, as you know, most of you know, each SO and AC kind of approved the three of us as being. Co-chairs, but the mailing list is open to anyone who would like to participate, and so this is just a community effort not to represent any specific constituency, but to show groups outside of ICANN that are interested in internet governance what is going on in ICANN as Olivier has just said. Thanks.
And it's Olivier again, if I could just have another 20 seconds of your time. The calendar of forthcoming events and past events for 2016 is now on the screen. Going across, these are all the events that ICANN itself is taking part in. And so we're bringing input as a group and helping bringing input into these different events. Things of note, the WISIS Forum 2016, I'm not sure you can see it from here. If we can we just zoom in one more, please? So that's on the 2nd to the 4th of May, from what I see here. And then if we scroll towards the right, I have no idea who is in charge here, but if we scroll towards the right, we would be seeing the forthcoming Internet Governance Forum, some ITU events also that are taking place. And all of these events have the potential to affect ICANN in a very important way. So I think it's very important to have the input from the community on this. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you for that update. Questions from the floor? I have a couple of questions, if you don't mind. And I apologize because, as Byron indicated at the outset, I'm new to this role. And so some of these things I'm seeing for the first time. So I'm going to ask some very almost childlike questions about this effort because I'm just kind of getting up to speed. So what is the work plan or what are the milestones for deliverables for this particular working group? Does it have a beginning and an end, or do you kind of see it being an ongoing process?
Yeah, thanks, James. It's Olivia speaking. As I was saying, it's an ongoing process. So it doesn't have a starting point, middle point, and an end point. Internet governance continues happening around the world. The calendar is endless. There are always more things coming up, more conferences, more challenges coming ahead of us. So the work plan is effectively built at each conference where we have a face-to-face meeting and we look at what do we need to do until the next face-to-face meeting. And what we usually have to do is to get ready for responding to either consultations that are done in other locations, so ITU consultations, let's say, or UNCTAD, UN consultations, WISIS consultations. And then when we then meet again 3-4 months down the line, we then come up with another work plan to continue the work. But there are some long-term plans, of course, and one of the long-term plans is to see whether we could agree to some kind of a formal interaction with staff so as to actually have more input than just behaving as a sounding board from staff, so we could have more volunteer-led and community-led input into these processes rather than what we have at the moment where it's very much board and staff-led.
And do members of this CWG attend all of these events as a consultative effort, or?
I wouldn't say all members, no. I mean, there are some members, of course, of the working group that attend these events. There is no budget per se to send people to these events, but the members of the working group in general are very active in those circles, so they will attend anyway. What we then try to do in building panels is to have a mix between people that are members of the working group and others who might be high profile speakers that would be able to provide another angle, if you want, to what we're doing. But as I said, the next thing is the WISIS Forum in Geneva. We will be discussing ICANN accountability, and I'm sure that there will be several members of the Cross-Community Working Group on Accountability that will be present in Geneva anyway, in which case it will be great to have their insight into what's happening. And the one after that will obviously be IGF Internet Governance Forum, but that's way down the line at the end of the year.
Okay, last question, I promise, and I don't know if I'm jumping in front of others. So thank you. I mean, this is helpful for me to get my mind around this because I honestly wasn't very clear. So it sounds like a good idea. I mean, if the folks are already going to be present at those events and participating in those other organizations anyway, getting the overlap in one room at ICANN is a good idea to get them coordinated. I don't think anyone would question that. My only question is, given what we heard from Becky, is the CWG the right animal for that work? Should it be something else? Or should we invent something new for it? I always thought that a CWG would have a beginning, a charter, and then a comment, and then an end. And then the chartering organizations would say, yes, we agree with what the output was. But if it's something that's kind of more of an ongoing, indefinite effort, then it seems that there might be other ways to do that. So it's just a thought here from the table that probably has been covered many times within this working group. But as I mentioned, I'm coming at this fairly new. So I don't know if there's
If I could just comment on this, it's Olivier speaking. It's a very good point that you're making, and at present there doesn't appear to be another formal vehicle for being able to have this type of collaboration between the SOs and the ACs. So the CCWG model was the one that was taken, and it actually is using a model that is slightly wider than the typical CCWG model. We interpreted the charter in the way that the CWG accountability was interpreted, in that it has members, participants, but also a large number of people that are just following the working group as it does its work. If there was another model that could be used for formal interaction, and we need something formal because, of course, when you interact with staff or with the board, there needs to be a formalized part to the community interaction. If we had that, I'm sure there would be a way to evolve into that kind of structure. I don't know how my colleagues there think about it.
Marilia.
Thank you, James. Marilia Maciel speaking. Actually, I participated in the creation of the CCWG, and the reason why it was created as a CCWG effort, I think it was because there was in the beginning a very clear output or product. It was created when ICANN started to participate in the organization of Net Mundial in Brazil, and we wanted to make sure that the voice of the community would be heard, at least in the principiological issues that we could get a consensus on, that there would be an outcome coming from the ICANN community into the meeting. And through the first months of the CWG, that was the main project that we worked on. And after Net Mundial, I think it was somehow repurposed. We have in the horizon the possibility to contribute with a formal output into these processes if we feel there is need for it. Right now, we are more kind of following up what is going on outside and coming from the UN space into ICANN, as I have in my professional life. I think it's very useful for us to keep track of these moving parts outside the ICANN ecosystem. I think that many of us do not have the time to do it, and knowing that there is a part of the community that is monitoring this and making sure that we know what's going on and that you have this resort that you can go and follow the meetings and keep informed of what is going on outside, and of course making sure that staff and ICANN speaks on behalf of the community, and that we know the messages that are being conveyed by ICANN, by the CEO. I think it's important for this to exist. I think that your question is a very good one. When we created the CCWG, we did not have the CWG accountability experience yet. Maybe one thing that we could have in our agenda is to think if this is the best format to carry out this discussion, or if another format would be more advisable. I think that from the moment we created the CWG until now, other efforts have appeared and taken shape as discussion groups or cross-community working parties. So maybe there are more options on the table now that we did not have back then. Thanks.
Thank you, Marilia. That's helpful background. Oh, Rubens? No, I'm sorry. I thought you were getting my attention. Any other questions? The queue is clear. Okay, thank you for that update, and for the remainder of our agenda, we'll turn it over to Byron for agenda item 3 and 4.
If we could just ask for the, or if I could just ask for the agenda to be put back up, but for agenda item 3, there are agenda items A and B. The first one is regarding the process and procedures within each of our respective communities around the CCWG. What's happening right now, and how are we bringing it to conclusion one way or the other? So I'll kick it off just walking through what the CCNSO is planning to do. And I'll go back in time a little bit, in that in Dublin for the third draft, we had considerable discussion face-to-face as well as on list, et cetera. For members of the GNSO, we in the CCNSO have 2 days of meetings, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and we devoted significant time during our face-to-face meetings in Dublin to reviewing and discussing the third draft of the proposal. The outcome of that was there was a general, though certainly not unanimous, consensus support for the third draft. In the interim, Like many, we are members of the CCWG, have participated in all the calls and lists, of which we heard some of the facts and figures over the past day or two, the 33,000 emails and the hundreds and hundreds of hours of calls and face-to-face meetings. As we come to this meeting, as much as possible, we will focus on the deltas between the third draft and the fourth draft. Over Tuesday and Wednesday this week, we again have devoted substantial time on our agenda in three different blocks of time to the discussion and review of the fourth proposal. And during that time, of course, councillors will be in the room with the broader CCNSO membership, having the discussion, debate, dialogue, and listening to our community's views on the fourth draft. Our council meeting is Wednesday at 5 o'clock, where we will take it up as the CCNSO Council, and depending on the outcomes over the next couple of days, we'll take a decision whether to support and recommend it to the board. And that will happen, as I said, on Wednesday at our council meeting between 5 and 6 p.m. So for us, that's the basic process and how we're approaching it. And we'd be very interested to hear how the GNSO is doing it. But before we do that, if there are any questions about how the CCNSO is conducting itself, I'd be happy to entertain those. Seeing none, I'd be very curious to see how the GNSO is doing it.
Thanks, Byron. James speaking. And the GNSO, I think there's a high degree of overlap between our two approaches, and that we are focusing, at least this most recent review, on the changes that were made between the third draft report, which was the subject of extensive comments from our stakeholder groups and constituencies, and the supplemental report. I believe, as a participant of both, that some of those changes were the result of some of the comments that were submitted by GNSO participants, members, stakeholder groups, and constituencies. We have set aside quite a bit of time this weekend to discuss both the substance of the report as well as the process that we will use to examine it and ultimately cast our votes in favor or against the materials of the supplemental report. Risk of being made to be foolish, I put out a proposed process that would, I believe, during our Wednesday session, allow us both the opportunity to comment as a council on the supplemental proposal as a package, as well as giving councillors, stakeholder groups, and constituencies the ability to extract individual recommendations out of that package for a la carte examination and a vote. That doesn't necessarily mean that we would expect the outcome of that to be a kind of a mixed proposal where the GNSO supports certain recommendations but doesn't support others. That's certainly not the goal here. We're very keen on sending a clear signal to the CCWG co-chairs. But it does allow us the ability to establish, and I think similar to the note that we saw from the ALAC yesterday, that they approved the different recommendations with different levels of support. Some were widely supported, some less so. And then we have also offered each of the councillors or organizations to submit rationale supporting their vote. I think originally we called them minority statements, but we don't know. They could be majority statements. So we're calling them rationale. Where are we? I'll give the same message that I gave to the GAC yesterday. We are some of our stakeholder groups and constituencies are ready to go. Others are still discussing and need more time. All of our groups are meeting tomorrow, Tuesday, for most of the day, and I suspect that's where a lot of this these final discussions will take place, and the expectation, of course, being that there really is not a day after to consider this after Wednesday. Wednesday is the day that we will conduct our vote. So I suspect our meeting is a little earlier than yours. I think our public meeting runs from, I don't know, I don't have my calendar in front of me. It's like 1 to 3 or something like that. And yeah, so you will probably know going into your meeting how our meeting went would be my guess. But again, having tried, I don't hold myself up as a participant of the GNSO, certainly not to the level of others like Keith and Becky and Nigel and some of the others who have been actively involved. I've tried to hold on to this tiger by the tail as much as possible, but I know that the contributions from these two communities have been extensive, and I believe even being one step back from the action, I believe a lot of what you see in the final result is a result of work that's been done in these two communities. And so I would say, it's as much as our effort, or we own this as much as anyone else in these two communities. So I'll just leave it at that. I hope that addresses your questions. I think the bottom line is that we are on track. We still have work to do. But our schedule has laid it out between here and Wednesday.
Thank you. Any comments or questions for anyone? Still considerable work to do in both communities, I think, over the next couple of days from what I can hear. Anything else on this subject in terms of process? Okay, well, with that, then, seeing none, I will turn it over, pardon me, to Katrina, our vice chair, to talk about item 3B. Katrina.
Thank you very much, Byron. Katrina Sataki, CCNSO. So, assuming that we smoothly enter the implementation phase, it looks that CCNSO and the GNSO will, as Byron put it in his welcoming remarks, be forced to work together. And let's take an example. For example, customer standing committee. According to the plan, it's supposed to be submitted, at least ready, formed by something around mid-August, which means that by June, we need to, the processes need to be in place in both communities. That's one thing. That's how our communities choose our representatives. But at the same time, it looks that both communities have to vote and accept the CSC as a whole. So how are we going to do that? So there's clear need for us to work on some common policy. We have our own policies, plus we need some common policy. And we need it really fast. So June is very, very close. How are we going to do that? So one of the ways we could have some representatives from both councils, for example, or for not necessarily councils, but from both communities that could find these common grounds and so that we are ready and deliver by mid-August. So what are the thoughts on this issue?
Thanks, James. Donna, sorry, Katrina. Donna Austin from Newstar and the Registry Stakeholder Group. I was closely involved in developing the CSC with Martin Boyle and Stefan from .sc at the time and a few others from the Registry Stakeholder Group. So a little bit of news today in the implementation plan that ICANN provided about an hour ago, that they have a time frame of 18 August that we have to have the CSC together. Now, in terms of requirements for, and I'll do this for the council, GNSO council, because I don't know that we haven't had any discussion around this at all. The CSC is a customer standing committee or customer service committee. I can never remember which one we decided it was. Essentially, it is representatives from GTLDs, CCTLDs, and non-G or Cs. I can't even remember which one that is now. And the liaison from IANA. So that's kind of the minimum structure that we want. And then we have liaisons that can come from ALAC, another from GNSO, ESAC, a few others. So the requirements in terms of the registry stakeholder group and the CCNSO need to sign off on the representatives that they want to be on this customer standing committee. And basically the customer standing committee is the committee that will manage the whether the IANA function is actually being managed in a way that is meets the SLAs that have been developed as part of the working group on from the CWG on IANA. And it's kind of a rolling thing. So on a monthly basis, they'll go back and they'll have a look at the SLAs and see if IANA is actually meeting those SLAs. And if there's any other, you know, stuff that looks out of the ordinary, then they can deal with PTI, and which is the new IANA, and try to resolve the issues. So I'm trying to give the really short version of how this all works. So the Registry Stakeholder Group and the CCNSO will sign off on their candidates for the CSC, but there's also a requirement that the GNSO Council needs to approve the slate as well. So, and I think it's the case that the CCNSO Council has to approve the full slate as well. So there's a process that we have to develop to enable that to happen. So the Registry Stakeholder Group will have to develop a process for signing off on their representatives, the same, I assume, for the CC. So, Katrina, to your point, I think probably worthwhile putting a small working group together from the Registry Stakeholder Group and the CCNSO and try to work out how we're going to manage this process in order to, you know, pull together the composite, the slate for the CSC. And then the GNSO, we have to think about what mechanism we want to use to... I see it as a tick-the-box exercise. It shouldn't be too controversial. So we need to... But we do need to work out how we're going to sign that off. And now we know that we have a timeline of 18 August. It's a little bit more compressed than what I thought it was. So we do need to start having the conversation. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. I think that impresses upon both communities... how urgent, actually, that piece of work is to get the CSC up and running. And given that right now we don't, it sounds like neither of our communities have any structure in place to actually select the members, et cetera, there's certainly significant work to be done. Please go ahead.
I just want to make one question.
Can you just state your name for the transcript, please?
Sure. My name is Yuko Green from, I'm the... Strategic Programs Manager. I was at the presentation that Trang has stated that the date August 18th. However, it is actually August 15th when we have to transmit the final report to NTIA, which is August 15th. So everything, the implementation or constitution of the CSC must happen by then, and Trang has misspoken the date as 18th. I just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Thank you. So it's even... slightly more urgent. Okay, any other comments or questions on that? So I think probably, certainly for our council or community discussion, at least speaking for the CCNSO, it's something we're going to have to address while we're here in Marrakesh, or at least get that started. Presumably there'll be some initial conversation with the GNSO, and we will have to figure out a way to bring that back together in the very near term. Okay. Bart. For those of you who don't know Bart, he is the ICANN staff member for the CCNSO Secretariat.
One of the things as part of the discussions around the transition or around the CCWG accountability is on Wednesday afternoon, early Wednesday afternoon. There will be an update and discussion on the implementation of the CCW or CWG stewardship aspects. Say, in preparing for that session, ICANN staff responsible for the implementation will provide a full list of areas where the CCNSO at least needs to act in order to enable the timely creation of not just the CSC, but potentially in other areas as well. So it might be useful that we share this afterwards with the GNSO as well, so they have a full picture of what really needs to be done on the side of the GNSO and the CCNSO in order to enable the creation of the CSC, but other areas of the CWG stewardship as well in a timely fashion.
Thanks, Bart. Any other interventions or discussion on this topic? Okay, then we'll move to agenda item number 4, which is around the new meeting strategy. And maybe I'll just kick that off in that, as I'm sure most of you know, on Fridays, prior to the start of the official meeting, the SO and AC and SG chairs get together for a working session around the various issues of the day, whatever they may be. And this past Friday, when we had that meeting, one of the topics brought up, in fact, by ICANN, was the new meeting strategy. And the concern raised by the meeting planners was effectively that even though there'd been a fairly lengthy working group process and approval by the board to change the meeting structures to the A, B, and C format meetings, that the communities had consistently and regularly come back to the meeting planners saying, we need more time. We can't do it in 4 days for meeting B. Please give us more time, meeting rooms, facilities, et cetera. So ICANN meeting planners came back to the chairs to actually ask, honestly, what do you want to do? Do you want to live up to the meeting B strategy, which a community working group came up with and the board approved? Or do we want to do something else, a B-plus style meeting, as it started to become referred to? So I just put that out there because it is a topic of discussion. I don't think any changes have been made, at least from ICANN's planning perspective, but they did reach back out to the full community with that concern. But within that, assuming that it is still a B-style meeting, a four-day meeting, I think one of the things that has come up is how will the various communities interact in that compressed timeline? From the CCNSO perspective, as I've already said, we have all-day meetings Tuesday and Wednesday. We could continue to do that. We may find that we need to compress some of those meetings in order to meet with other constituencies. There has been some discussion and dialogue around a broader town hall style format one day, because as is often the case with these kinds of meetings, where it's a one-to-one meeting, GNSO to CCNSO in this case, we tend to repeat those. CCNSO does this with GNSO, we do it with ALAC, we do it with the board, we do it with the GAC, and I know GNSO does the same type of thing. So we all have these single point-to-point meetings where, as James very recently said, we tend to say or deliver the same pieces of information 3 and 4 times in a row. And surely there must be a more efficient way to do that in terms of the interactions between the various communities. So how might we better execute those interactions? And instead of having a one-to-one relationship, how can we have an effective, potentially many-to-many relationship where we can share the same information, learn from each other as communities in terms of what's happening or the issues, but not necessarily have to have 4 1-hour or 90-minute meetings, which in a compressed 4-day meeting structure, those hours become increasingly valuable. So I just wanted to provide a little bit of lay of the land and kick it off in terms of discussion of any thoughts on how we can continue to interact and share and exchange, but in a meeting B format. James.
Thanks, Byron. That's helpful. And this is James speaking. So we had, I think, similar conversations over the weekend sessions, and we were running, I think, into the same obstacles. I think we also use the term town hall, and just for the record, over the weekend I was asked what's the difference between a town hall and a public forum. And I think and I don't know that there's an official definition, but my response was the public forum is everyone lining up to speak to the board, whereas the town hall, we're all speaking to each other. And that maybe helps paint a different image. I think that we also noted the challenges of meeting the dual objectives of the meeting strategy, focusing on policy work and policy development, as well as getting into different venues and locales for outreach efforts, and bringing newcomers into the ICANN process. Volker was very involved in planning. Unfortunately, he had to leave, but our vice chair, Donna, was also involved not only in our discussions this weekend, but the meeting strategy working group as well, and she had some important thoughts on that, so if you don't mind.
Thanks, James. Donna Austin. So I think the CCNSO representative was Keith Davidson on the meeting strategy working group. And somebody else. So, Margarita Valdez, I remember. So she was up the back. I got a little bit concerned when I saw the agenda come up on the screen when we were having a discussion around this on whatever day it was, because it looked like the way that the agenda seems to be being structured now is that it's all back in silos. So ALAC has a room, CCNSO has a room, GNSO has a room, board has a room, and that's not what we intended when we thought about meeting B. So the idea is that that there be opportunities to address pretty much what you've said, Byron. Rather than having the same conversations multiple times, let's just get everybody in the room and have the same discussion and get a better understanding of where, you know, people are on certain issues. This is supposed to be a meeting that has a strong focus on policy. And for the GNSO, that there are two significant policy efforts that the council has recently agreed to kick off. One of them is on next round of GTLDs, and the other one is on next generation WHOIS, which I suspect is probably, both of those efforts are probably of interest to folks in your group as well. So we see meeting B, or certainly I see meeting B, as an opportunity to have substantive discussion around those issues and make some real progress. So if you have a four-hour chunk of time where you have a discussion around one of the PDPs and you make some real progress, rather than, you know, getting the participants in a room on a regular basis, you actually open it up. So you're more or less having an interactive public comment period on the spot, rather than going through the normal process. So that was the intent of what Meeting B was supposed to be about. It was, let's get rid of all the bells and whistles and let's try to get rid of the duplicative sessions, but also the conflicted sessions. So we have, personally, as a part of the registry stakeholder group, we have found that we have not been able to attend a lot of the substantive topics being discussed on a Monday because of all the GDD sessions that are running in parallel. So it's been really, really difficult for us to get to those Monday sessions. So this is supposed to take away from that as well. So you don't have, you're not pushing up against other sessions. So you try to have one stream and everybody gets in the room to have the discussion. And so that was the intent. From a registry stakeholder group perspective, the month before the next, the month before meeting B, we have a GDD summit in Amsterdam, and that is where registries, registrars come together for 3 days to discuss. We haven't worked out the agenda, but it's kind of around operational issues and maybe some of the policy stuff, but there will be opportunity for business discussion as well. So the question that we need to discuss within the registry stakeholder group this week is, what's the value in attending the Amsterdam meeting and then turning around and attending meeting B the following month? Do you send the same set of people, or do you just send a couple of policy people to meeting B? So it's possible that we will have less attendees at a meeting B than what we would have at meeting A and C. So that's kind of a summary of where we're at. The intention of meeting B is a policy focus, and to get everybody out of their individual rooms into one room to have good, substantive discussion around issues. Thanks.
Thank you. That's a very helpful explanation. Any comments or suggestions on this topic?
There's a comment from Keith Davidson in the chat. He's agreeing with you on what the original intent of meeting B was, and it was for cross-community work on policy.
Maybe, Donna, can I ask, did you have a particular, in the working group, was there a particular flow in mind, as in Mondays was more interaction-oriented, Tuesday, Wednesday, back to communities to think, process, work, and back out to Thursday for more community? I mean, was there any flow like that considered?
We didn't necessarily have a flow. I think, because this was so long ago now, I tried to find the report yesterday and I couldn't find it. But I think what we had in mind, it wasn't that, certainly we had 4 days. And just to comment on the outreach, the idea was, one of the challenges for ICANN in doing, you know, the ICANN meetings these days is finding a venue that can hold the meeting. It's very, very difficult because you need a certain amount of rooms. We now have translation booths in a number of the different, for the forum, we have it in the GAC room. I think there's some other rooms that they also have translation services. So the technical requirements are such that you can't have them in, there's not many places in Africa and South America in particular that you can hold those larger meetings. So one of the ideas with meeting B is, let's make it smaller, let's have a policy focus on it, but also use it as an opportunity to do outreach in those local communities. So if you use Panama as the example, that makes sense. But now that the meeting has moved to Helsinki, doesn't necessarily make sense. But that was the intent with the outreach. You could go out, take people to local universities, tell kids about it, encourage them to come along and see how it works. So that was the outreach. In terms of structure, I think what we looked at was, I think it was slabs of time. So, from 8 to 12 across the 4 days, we talk about, that's the opportunity for discussion on different topics. And then from, I think it was from 4 to 6 in the afternoon, that's the time that you go back to your individual constituencies or groups and have a conversation about, what's happened during the day. And so I think it was more about chunks of time rather than separate days being assigned to constituencies.
Thank you. Annabeth?
Annabeth Lang, for the record. This is a challenge, of course, but on the one hand, we want to have a free conversation and people are talking to each other, town hall, meeting in a big room to try to exchange views. And at the other hand, we don't encourage many people to come. We say that this is a small meeting, and just the essence of who you are sending to a meeting should come. Because how can you put it in a place where it's... We see this meeting, it's in the big room today? So many people. And how can we have a room where all these people will discuss things together, which would have been perfect? For example, some stations around, that we have a CCNSO station, and then we have a GNSO station, and a kind of a public forum in the middle. I think we can find models, but the most challenging will be to kind of restrict the people coming. If not, it will not work the way that you really wanted it to be, I'm afraid.
I think while we assumed that there would be less people coming if it was just a policy focus, we kind of thought it might reduce the number of people coming. But one of the other things to take into consideration, if Nick just had to find one of those rooms as opposed to five or six or seven, it's a much easier job for him to do. But when you're trying to find, you know, because the GNSO meets for Saturday and Sunday, so we need a big room for that. We've been in this room for the last 2 days. The GAC has an extraordinarily big room with no windows that, you know, they need to find. So it's a lot about logistics. So I don't know. By making it a policy-focused meeting, we thought that will reduce the numbers in coming. But the smaller, to take it to those regional locations, it's more about the location. So if we can find one big room, that's great. Yeah, and that's much easier for Nick to find in those locations than having to find five or six. So I don't know if that answers your question in a bit, but that's...
Yes, if we can hold it for being that kind of discussion and we needed perhaps one or two big rooms, but... If, in addition, you should have a retreat to your own room to discuss afterwards, then we again have the problem, how many people will it be in the different meeting rooms if each constituency should go back between four and six to discuss among themselves?
I guess you just have to be a little bit more flexible. Don't expect a room like this that's all mic'd up and ready to go. You might just have, you know... a much smaller room where everybody just gets around and has a conversation. So it's about, you know, logistics requirements as well, and just being a little bit more flexible in understanding that you won't have the same facilities that you do for A and ANC.
Perhaps we just have to try and see how the Helsinki meeting works.
And that was one of the comments at the Friday chair's working session. We should at least try it before we start to fiddle with it. Katrina.
Yes, thank you, Baron. Katrina Satak, CCNSO. I have a feeling that when you discussed these issues and when you came up with the idea of a meeting be a smaller format and focused on the policy work, well, I'm sure you couldn't foresee that the stewardship transition thing will hit us, right? And, well, exactly, yes, that was long before that, so you... But now I feel that it's a little bit premature. We still have many issues to discuss within our communities, with our communities. Maybe next year. That's actually what happened in the CCNSO. We have this program working group, and I mean, we looked into this issue. We proposed to the council, meeting B, let's wait and see. Because this meeting B, well, it's supposed to be meeting B, will not be a normal meeting B as suggested, right? Because there are still things on the table.
I mean, I tend to think that maybe it is a good time to do meeting B because we're going to be in a little bit of a holding pattern. And, you know, once the proposals have gone off to NCIA, we're not going to be doing, you know, obviously... Staff are doing some work in terms of implementation and we need to monitor that, but I don't know that we'll have the need for the, you know, 2 or 3 days to get into substantive discussion on the issues because we're in a holding pattern. So maybe Helsinki is a good opportunity for a meeting B. Maybe people go and have a holiday instead or something. I don't know.
Is anybody else, would anybody else like to make a comment or intervention on this subject? Recognizing it's almost 1:30, which is the conclusion of our meeting, I just want to offer up the floor to anybody else who has a comment on this subject or the previous ones. Yes, sir. Carlos.
Yes, Carlos, for the record, I have a question to the chairs. Would you be ready to sacrifice the Saturday-Sunday meetings for the Helsinki meeting? I mean, we have discussed these B meetings around a lot. I really like the focus of the working group. I mean, it's very clear. Staff has a problem scheduling it, but that's not my problem. But the final result is that we are scrapping the private time that we got traditionally assigned Saturday and Sunday to for our individual face-to-face meetings. So, James, are you ready to sacrifice Saturday and Sunday? And Byron, I don't know what the equivalent is in the CCNSO. I would be very interested in your frank opinion. Thank you.
So I guess this is James speaking. To address your question correctly, I would say if the council informs me that they want those sessions, then we will go back to the to this group and insist that we somehow make accommodations, at least for a partial weekend session, probably the B-plus structure with a plus one optional day. For me personally, having now sat here, but also having given the updates from PDPs and other working groups, I think that some of that can probably either be delivered via webinar or via email. And I think that probably those of you, although we had, I think, a good and productive weekend session, I think that, you know, at a certain point, we could probably say that some of those working groups are in a different state of their evolution and maybe not ready to occupy an hour or 2 hours on a docket, particularly given that there were just a dearth of questions coming from the floor on their subject, so maybe we weren't ready to take those on. So perhaps those would be fodder for that. And then the other day is, and again, I'm speaking personally, the other day is interactions with all the other different groups. Of course, the CCNSO being the most important one, we have to keep that. But some of those other groups, like the board or GDD staff, that was humor for the transcript. But some of those one-on-one interactions, I think, could be folded into these other ideas like a town hall, and then we wouldn't need the bulk of the time that we currently set aside for Sunday. So I guess the answer is I will, and I guess speaking for Donna and Heather, the co-chairs, we'll fight for whatever scheduling the community instructs us that they need as a bare minimum to get the job done. I understand the sentiment that we should try it first before we start complaining and criticizing. However, there are things that could probably be cut from the weekend's schedule if we want to get creative about having those updates delivered in different ways.
Thanks, Byron Holland, for the transcript. You know, there's a personal answer and there's a chair answer. From a personal perspective, I have a family and kids. Staying home with them for a weekend as opposed to in a basement room somewhere, I'm okay with that. That said, as chair, we haven't had a fulsome discussion on this yet, so I'd be a little bit remiss to be speaking for the council. That said, we had members on the working group. It has certainly been discussed a number of times at the council level and has generally been supported. We don't use Saturdays as the CCNSO. We use Sundays for working groups and council prep and that kind of a thing. Could we find a way to get that work done using a four-day week? I certainly think it's possible, and other methods that James just articulated, be they webinars or online or different methods, I think we should explore it before we say we can't do it. So that, you know, personally, from a chair perspective, I think there's ways that we could structure it to still deliver the value and the work that we need to while trying to work within the confines of the B meeting. And I also, as I've said, believe we should at least try it before we start modifying it or complaining about it. With that, trying to keep us on time, because I know we all have busy schedules, it is now 1:32 or so. Thank you, everybody, both from the CCNSO and most certainly the GNSO councils for this meeting. I think it was a good exchange, and I think it highlighted that there's still some key work to be done in the very short term, particularly about the CSC. And we as the two communities are going to have to work together immediately to try to start sorting out those issues. So thank you very much, everybody, for surfacing those, for those discussions, and look forward to working with you in the coming days and weeks.
And thank you, Byron, as you're stepping down. I hope it wasn't us. But we look forward to continuing to work with you and your, you know, as a council. I understand you're remaining on the council, if that's correct. And then we look forward to working with the new chair as well.
Yes, I will be staying on the council. If they'll have me, I would certainly consider staying as the vice chair if they'll have me. We'll see how those elections go. The one parting note I will make is, as we all know, the two councils had often had a later in the day meeting, this meeting later in the day, with an informal cocktail afterward. I know we were challenged with logistics. I would just like to say I thought that was a great format, because not only could you have a more formal meeting like this, the opportunity to get to know each other and have a more informal chat, I thought, as a chair, was very valuable. I'll leave that as my parting thought. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.
Thank you. We can pause the recording.